Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to that epistle lesson for today. It serves as the sermon text, Philippians 3 verses, I'm going to start at verse 7 and go to verse 14. Paul says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." This is God's word. In Christ Jesus, fellow redeemed. Tax time. Profit and loss statements. Spring house cleaning, to-do lists, figuring out what you're going to keep and what you're going to throw out, doing all that dirty work of dividing the stuff that you have. It's springtime, right? And it's that time again when we maybe have that idea, that desire, that kind of bug in us that wants to get things cleaned up, shipshape, maybe go through some of the stuff and throw out what we don't need anymore and file away the stuff that we do want in a little more organized fashion. Are you doing that? Spring house cleaning? Yeah, it's one of those things that No, we need to get to and take care of, but, you know, sometimes we just kind of put it off and would rather do something else. What about your spiritual spring house cleaning? You ever done that? Going through the things that are in your life and in your heart and throwing out the stuff that doesn't fit with your relationship with your Lord and Savior, and saving and emphasizing even more the stuff that does. That's what the Apostle Paul is encouraging on us today, using a metaphor of running a race. Somebody running a race isn't going to be wearing, you know, a thick, heavy coat, big, heavy boots, and maybe a nice warm stocking cap on his head. No, he's going to make sure everything that he has on is going to assist him in running the race so he can win. So it is also true as far as our souls are concerned. The Lord Jesus, through the Apostle Paul this morning, wants us to remember to press on toward the goal of heaven. That means getting rid of the stuff that interferes and straining straight for the goal of eternal life. They say getting started is half the battle. And boy, is that true about spring house cleaning, isn't it? At least it is for me. You start the job, and then either you get distracted and you figure, well, that's okay, I didn't want to do that anyway. Or you get so wrapped up in trying to decide which stuff to keep and which to throw out, you just can't decide, so You just quit. The Apostle Paul, in the words of our text this morning, makes us understand that there are plenty of things in our lives as believers that we need to do some spring house cleaning with. Saul should know. Oh, did I say Saul? That was his name before he became the Apostle Paul. Saul was a man who had everything going for him. If you took a stock of his spiritual assets, the Apostle Paul's storehouse was full of all the good stuff. At least everybody thought so. When they took a look at the Apostle Paul, they figured, boy, this is a guy who really has it made. Paul talks about that in just a couple of verses before that of our text. He says, I myself have reasons for such confidence. Confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day. That was that Old Testament procedure that identified these people as ones who were part of the family, the people, the nation of God. Chosen nation of Israel. Paul had that. Circumcision on the eighth day. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He could show his ancestry generations back in time. A Hebrew of Hebrews. His blood ran Jewish. In regard to the law, Pharisee, top notch. As for zeal, persecuting the church, in other words, these radicals called Christians, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Boy, if any Jewish mother wanted a son-in-law for their daughter, oh my, this was the one. Well, I would love to have this one come home and meet the family. If legalistic righteousness, in other words, doing all the deeds of God's Old Testament law, was the way to get to heaven, you couldn't beat this Saul's assets and achievements and accomplishments. He was at the head of the line. He was one who could certainly boast and brag about all the things that anyone would be proud of. There was no doubt whatsoever. He outclassed and outperformed everyone else in Israel. Even better than these Judaizers, Paul talked about them in his letter to the Galatians, those who were so insistent that you had to still, even as a Christian, you still had to keep those Old Testament laws if you wanted to get to heaven. And Saul considered all of that something that was of profit and to his gain. He said, whatever was to my profit. But then what else does he say? Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. All those huge advantages that he thought he had before God to get him faster and more easily to heaven, suddenly all came crashing down when he had that radical reversal on the road to Damascus. Remember that? Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22. This man Saul was going to Damascus to find even more of those who claimed to be followers of Jesus. That prophet of Nazareth, the one who claimed to be the Messiah, was crucified and then they all claimed he rose again. Jesus himself, in the flesh, appeared to Saul on that road to Damascus, and boy, was that a shock. That changed everything for the Apostle Paul, including all the things that he used to consider to be treasures, now turned to trash. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. And then Paul says, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. All those things that he chalked up to his advantage, things that he boasted and bragged about to everyone about, you know, how good a person he was in keeping God's law, now it was all so much trash. It was garbage. All the things that he was clinging to, that he had to hang on to, now he couldn't help but want to get rid of it. It was thrown out, all because of that confrontation conversion with Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus. You and I have had that same encounter. Maybe not as dramatic and impressive as it was for the Apostle Paul, but certainly just as powerful. At your baptism? When you were confirmed in Christ through that series of lessons that you learned at the feet of your pastor? During the times that you have had the opportunity to hear God's Word preached and taught? Bible study, meditations at home, Word and Sacrament, God Himself has personally also encountered you and caused you to realize the stuff that our sinful nature comes up with, everything that we encounter in this world, and even the things that Satan brings into our lives in such a way that we know that's just not beneficial. Those things now go out with the trash. And remember, this isn't by your own efforts or initiative. God's the one who is doing this work in your heart, because all your actions, all your assets, all your achievements, all your accomplishments, just like the Apostle Paul, what does he say? I consider them rubbish. I like the King James better. Remember what it is, John? Dung. You know what dung is? The manure pile. That's what Paul considers all those efforts that he had done to try to earn his way to heaven. So much manure. It's no wonder we want to get rid of it. It's like that smelly waste basket in the kitchen. Your nose knows that you've got to wrap it up and throw it out. That's so also all the efforts that we might try to do in order to win our way to heaven. No, get rid of it right quick. Because Christ alone is to be our focus. Do you know what the letters G-I-G-O refer to? It's computer jargon for garbage in, garbage out. You ever do any programming, or even if you're just typing a letter, and you're sitting there on the keyboard and you're just hitting whatever numbers and letters that your fingers might hit, you can be pretty well sure that the letter is not going to come out the way you thought it would or you wanted it to, because garbage in means it's going to be garbage out. The computer is not going to correct things in between there. Well, so it is also true of our lives in this world. Whether we're talking about our daily life or the things in our house, or especially the things in our heart, There is plenty of garbage that comes into our hearts. And that's why our Lord calls on us to repent. Get the garbage out. Okay? That's the G-O. Get it out. Because the garbage does not bring us any closer to God, but in fact the exact opposite. Farther and farther away. Another illustration would be spiritual breathing. I use this in confirmation class and in the Bible information class. Breathing, spiritual breathing. Repentance is exhaling the bad. Our confession of sins. So that then we can inhale the forgiveness of sins that Christ has won for us on the cross of Calvary. But note this. One theologian made this point. Boasting over the fact that one has been baptized and confirmed, has received a Christian education through Lutheran elementary or high school, taking pride in one's church attendance, and all I've done for the church, these stand in the way of relying on Jesus Christ alone for salvation. While they can do much to benefit us, and we're not denying that, when they become objects of trust for righteousness before God, they need to be thrown out like garbage. Christ is the focus. Knowing Him and believing in Him is far superior to anything we can give to the Lord. And so it is also true then for us. May we put our focus where it needs to be, on Christ alone. So that, as we're running this race, we make it all the way to the finish line. That's what the Apostle Paul says in our text as well. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. One of my fellow pastors had this illustration from his college days. He was on the cross-country team, and there was one classmate, a friend of his, who was just lightning fast. Nobody could keep up with him, okay? But when they came to running the first cross-country race, he was going this way and that way, showing off all his, you know, strength and ability and all that stuff. And he wore himself out so that by the end of the race, he was barely able to cross the finish line. So it is also in our race for the goal of heaven. The Apostle Paul's emphasis for us is to focus on Jesus and the costs and benefits of that. Kind of like a spreadsheet, okay? The Apostle Paul says, first of all, I want to know Christ and His resurrection. Those are the two most important things of all. Absolutely essential and powerful. Jesus rose from the dead and won the victory over sin and death and the devil himself. He has included us in that now by bringing us to faith and a knowledge of our Savior Jesus. And so Paul says, I want to share in His sufferings. Because Jesus did all that for me, I can certainly go through the things I need to, whatever it might be, so that somehow I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that my efforts are going to make it any better for me, because I know that's utterly impossible. Jesus said, it is finished. He did it all. But now I have the privilege of serving not only Him, but with Him, in my daily activities. And whenever it might happen, however it may take place, finally when I die, I will have that resurrection that Jesus has promised me by his own resurrection from the dead. And the results are going to be wonderful. As I continue to focus on Christian growth and maturing in faith, that is never going to be complete in this life. Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this or have been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I continue to run the race because I don't want to be caught short, just shy of the finish line, and then quit. You imagine a race like that? Running a marathon? And then 1 foot from the finish line, you decide, I just can't make it. I'm giving up. Don't give up, the Apostle Paul encourages. Because this is the very reason why Christ suffered, died, and rose again. It's the reason why he won that prize of eternal life for us through his perfect life, his innocence, sufferings, and death, his precious blood shed there on the cross, and that empty tomb on Easter, all of that to absolutely guarantee that you and I have the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus alone. That's the reason why daily we're going to want to make sure that we do nothing to jeopardize or lose that wonderful gift. That's why Paul calls on us to crucify, not coddle, crucify the sinful nature and press on toward the goal of eternal life. Avoiding despair on the one hand, thinking that in some way, you know, I just haven't lived up to all the things that I'm supposed to be doing, looking back at all the sins and failures of my past. Don't be doing that. But instead, the Apostle Paul calls on us to strain toward the goal of that gift of eternal life that God has promised us in Christ Jesus. That's why he has redeemed us. That's why God has called us to be his very own as believers in Christ Jesus, to his glory and praise now and forever. May God so work and keep in us that focus on Jesus our Savior, risen and victorious. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Alone. Amen.